Thank you and good morning, everyone. A happy Feast of Trumpets to each and every one of you. The future events depicted by this Feast of Trumpets are historic, and they are history-changing events. Jesus Christ is going to be sent back to this earth by God the Father for His second coming during a time of trouble. And it is cataclysmic trouble. The return of Christ at the seventh trumpet signals a time of tremendous joy for the saints of God who have remained called, chosen, and faithful. Those who have died will be resurrected in a better resurrection, we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. A better resurrection to immortal, eternal spirit life. Those living saints of God who remained called, chosen, and faithful through the cataclysmic troubles will be changed from mortal to immortal in the twinkling of an eye. This is why we human beings were created in the image of God to become immortal sons and daughters in the family of God. The return of Jesus Christ is truly the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and it's eternal gold at the end of the rainbow for the true saints of God. The light at the end of a very dark tunnel of trouble between now and then. So today on this Feast of Trumpets, what I want to discuss is enduring to the end through what we face now in the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The title is Enduring to the End. Humanity has had a lot of troubles, as Mr. Cleaver mentioned, but the time of greatest trouble that this world has ever seen is ahead of us. Back to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel 12. And it's the greatest time ever. In Daniel 12, verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. And it's going to be a time when the power of the holy people is going to be completely shattered. In Daniel 12, verse 7, latter part of the verse, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and we understand that to be 3.5 years. For a time, times, and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all of these things shall be finished. So we're facing a time of great tribulation, when no flesh would be saved alive if the days were not shortened. Scripture, I believe, that Mr. Cleaver turned to in Matthew, the 24th chapter. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not has been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, not ever shall be. And we read in the Scripture, and I didn't look the verse up, but we understand that about a tithe of mankind, about a tenth of the world's population is going to be alive at the end of all of this age. About a tithe. The population of this world is about 7 billion people. And so a tithe would be about 700 million. That means that we're going to live through times, if Christ returns in our lifetime, of seeing over 6 billion people die of famine, of disease, of war. We're headed through some very rough times. It's a dangerous time to be a Christian. So we're facing a time of great tribulation when no flesh would be saved alive if Christ didn't go ahead and be sent back by the Father. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. And for whose reason is it going to be cut short and this world is going to be saved? It's for the elect's sake. Those days will be shortened. And the elect are those chosen ones, those of us who God has reached down and opened our minds and called us and given us this tremendous hope and tremendous future. Notice what Revelation 6 adds about this time of tribulation. Revelation 6, beginning in verse 9, the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. Slain because they chose to obey God rather than go and live the wrong way. Those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried symbolically with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. This will be the time of Jacob's trouble that is mentioned in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And I'll just refer you to that. And so, who's going to be delivered? Back to Daniel 12. It's those that are written in the book. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. In the New Testament, if this is the same book, it's called the Book of Life. And in two places, it's called the Book of Life of the Lamb, or the Lamb's Book of Life. And for whose sake will these days of great tribulation be shortened? Well, the elect's sake that we read in Matthew 24, verse 22. Back to Matthew 24. Because lawlessness or iniquity shall abound, the love, the agape of many will go cold in Matthew 24. Verse 12, and because lawlessness, breaking the commandments of God. And this world is rife with breaking the commandments of God. Just look at the sins of our own nation. We have millions of abortions. We have people living together, right and left, instead of getting married. We have gay marriage and murder. On and on it goes. And because we are surrounded with all of this iniquity, it's difficult for us and it tends to rub off on us. And because lawlessness will abound, the love, the agape, God love, God spirit, the love of many will grow cold. God is love. God is agape, we read in 1 John 4, verse 8. And those who endure to the end will be saved, here in Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, this doesn't connote being a tea party or easy. According to Vines, endure is Strong's 5278, which is hupomeno. And it means to abide under, to bear up courageously under suffering. So it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be a cup of tea. A good prayer for you and me to pray is, Father, please help me to endure to the end. And during this time, there's going to be a lot of religious deception also in verse 11 of Matthew 24. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. It's going to be a dangerous time to be a Christian between now and the return of Jesus Christ. Christ said that true Christians are going to be persecuted and hated of all nations for His sake. In verse 9, beginning in verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And Christ adds in the account that's given in Luke 21, verse 16, that you will be betrayed by parents and brothers, and I'm quoting it to you, relatives and friends, and they will send some of you to their deaths. So we're going to suffer persecution. We've had it easy so far, really easy. But there's a lot of persecution prophesied. And some of that persecution is going to come from our own families and friends, Christ said. An innumerable multitude is mentioned over in Revelation 7. If you turn there, please. Revelation, the 7th chapter. Beginning in verse 9 is where it's mentioned in Revelation 7. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hand. Of course, the white robes depict righteousness. And an angel, one of the elders, asked the Apostle John, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? In verse 13. And the elder answered, and John said to him in verse 14, Sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. For these saints to have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, they had to be totally submissive to God. Totally submissive to God to wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Some are going to be protected, and some martyred in Revelation, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And this world can't come to have Jesus Christ back in a paradise established until Satan and his demons are put away, who have deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and Christ is serving currently as our high priest in heaven, taking up for us and speaking up for us when we're accused by Satan, the devil." And how did they overcome? The accuser of the brethren, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They were willing to be martyred to obey God, keep his commandments and his truth. "Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." And those who do not worship the beast and do not have the mark of the beast are destined to have great difficulties buying and selling. A chapter over in Revelation 13. Beginning in verse 13. "He performs great signs," speaking of these anti-God powers, beings, persons. "He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he is granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and has caused as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." And so there's going to be some difficult times to obey God in the peace and tranquility as we have experienced so far. "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name." And Mr. Welch is going through a series of sermons going through the book of Revelation. He's going to be coming to these scriptures before long. And so those who do not worship the beast or receive the mark on their right hand or on their foreheads are going to be refused buying and selling. Have great difficulties being able to buy and sell. One of the scriptures that we often refer to in these fall holy days is found in Revelation 20, verse 4. And I want you to notice what it says here in Revelation 20, verse 4, beginning. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them." See, all the time is trouble is over when this becomes reality. "And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands." And so you see, some of those who are going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years have had to go through beheadings in order to not disobey God and not receive this mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection, the latter part of verse 5, continuing verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, which is a better resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So how can we be faithful and counted among those who will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years? How can we endure until the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful? First point, we can endure until the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we keep our focus on the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Let me turn there so I don't misquote it. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that he said, don't worry about it, be added to us. So we need to keep our eyes focused, our mind focused on the kingdom of God. We're called to be a part of something that is so much bigger than we are. So much bigger than ourselves. God has rewards in store for those that love him that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor even entered into our hearts. It's quoted in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Our number one goal should be to receive the gift of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Our hope is to be in the kingdom of God, and this should color every aspect and affect every part of our lives. Our family lives, our work lives, our hobbies, our social lives, our financial lives, our diets, every part of our lives. Being in the kingdom of God is why God created us in his image. It's why we were born and why we draw breath. And we can endure unto the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we will keep our focus on the kingdom of God. Second, we can endure until the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we keep our focus on doing the work of God. The work of God is to preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God to the whole world, to every creature. The work of God is to make and teach disciples that God calls from all nations until the return of Christ. Preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is not over yet. There are millions of people on this earth who have not heard the name of Christ, yet to be reached. The work of God is to preach to the whole world that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and Savior and the only name under heaven whereby men can be saved. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The work of God is to preach repentance and remission of sins and a command to repent to all nations. My personal belief is that United is contributing to fulfilling these commissions and prophetic scriptures with all of our outreach, including the Kingdom of God seminars that we began on September the 10th. God conducted a membership drive on Pentecost in 31 AD through the preaching of the Apostle Peter. And 3,000 individuals were added to the Church of God on that day in 31 AD. The Apostle Paul conducted membership drives on the 3 evangelistic journeys, tours that he went on, and numerous churches of God were raised up. According to the parable of the sower, when the gospel is preached, one of the results is that the seed sown on good ground becomes Church of God members. Some bearing fruit 100-fold, some 60, some 30. conversions result when the gospel is preached. Results are not good when a person's mind wanders away from doing the work of God and pursues carnal endeavors. Turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he questioned whether he would find faith on this earth. But we need to remain faithful and be faithful so that he will find faith when he comes back to this earth. And we can pray to that end, Father, please increase my faith, help my faith, help me to do the work that you have given us to do. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing, being busy about doing the work of God. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But what about the individual that strays off into other carnal endeavors? But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and kind of lets down on the job and starts to take advantage of other people, starts to sin, begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, getting drunk, carousing, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him. And at an hour that he is not aware of, his mind is on something else other than the work of God and the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and he won't be aware of what's going on. He won't be watching world events, as Christ said. Because Christ said in verse 44, just above where we started reading, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. And so he'll come back at an hour in verse 50 that he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Christ also warned about a misplaced focus and being caught unawares in Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21, beginning in verse 34. He said, but take heed to yourselves. Be on guard. Watch out. Be careful. Be wise. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. New King James in the margin has for carousing, dissipation, drunkenness, and cares of this life. You're just getting bogged down in this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. See, if we take our focus off of the kingdom of God and off of doing the work of God and get it on the around instead of keeping our eyes up, then that day will come on us unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore. Be on guard. Be alert. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the kingdom of God, focused on doing the work of God. Watch and take heed. Don't get bogged down in carnal things and have that day come upon you unawares, because it's going to come, as Christ said here, as a snare to the whole world. Watch and pray. We can endure until the end. and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we keep our focus on doing the work of God. A third point, we can endure until the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we remain deeply repentant. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God wants the whole world, everyone, to come to repentance, because that's what's required for us to be in the kingdom of God. Beginning in verse 8 of 2 Peter 3. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. If you've been alive forever, a few years doesn't amount to very much, does it? If you're going to be alive forever into the future, 1,000 years doesn't make much difference. The Lord is not slack, verse 9, concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You notice that the alternative to repenting is perishing. And so it's important that we repent, and it's important that we remain repentant. God grants repentance. You see that in Acts 11. Peter was sent by God, by Christ, to baptized Cornelius, the first Gentile. And when he got back to Jerusalem, in Acts 11, those of the circumcision contended with him in the verse 2 of Acts 11. And so Peter rehearsed all that had happened. And how the Spirit had sent him with them. And as he was speaking to them, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and those gathered there with him, as upon us at the beginning in verse 15. And so then the Apostle Peter directed that Cornelius and those gathered with him there be baptized, and they spoke in tongues. And when the circumcision back in Jerusalem heard these things in verse 18, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." So repentance is something that God grants. It's not something we work up. It's something that God grants, and He wants to grant everyone repentance. And He grants repentance through His goodness. In Romans, the second chapter, in verse 4, he says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's through God's goodness that we get granted and led to repentance. So one thing for you and I to pray for is, God, please grant me a deeper repentance. Please help me to remain deeply repentant. Please help me to see myself more clearly. Please help me to change from the inside out. Change my brain cells. Perform a miracle on my brain cells and help me to think differently. Please help me to bring all of my thoughts into captivity. When you have a wrong, sinful thought come to mind, if you dwell on it and think about it and cogitate on it long enough, that's how we end up sinning, according to Apostle James. And so, a good prayer to pray when a wrong thought comes to mind is, Father, help me to bring that thought into captivity. What I pray sometimes is, Father, help my mind not to go there. Help my mind not to go there. You see a beautiful bikini-clad woman on TV. It may not bother you ladies, but I guarantee it bothers a whole bunch of us guys. Father, help my mind not to go there. Please help me to bring all of my thoughts into captivity, and I believe that's in 2 Corinthians. Father, please help me to be faithful until death. Please don't give me more than I can bear. Please give me strength. Please help me to do your will and not my will, as Christ prayed in Matthew 26. He's our example. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26, beginning in about the latter part of verse 36, he went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he asked them, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. But what did they do? They went to sleep. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus Christ knew what he was facing. And it was a horrible ordeal that he was going to have to go through. And he was human. And he, if there was any way, he wanted out of it. But he said, not as I will, but as you will. And so then he comes and he finds them asleep. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he went away a second time and praying said, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. You know, as Christ was totally submissive to the Father, and he said, your will be done. Whatever your will is, I'm willing to go through it. So Christ was totally submissive to God the Father. So we need to pray every day, Father, help me to obey you and keep all of your commandments. Father, help me to be faithful until death. Please help me to remain called, chosen, and faithful and have a part in the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great white throne judgment period, the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. We can endure until the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we'll all remain deeply repentant. In closing, observing the Feast of Trumpets reminds us that God the Father is going to send His Son, Jesus Christ, back to establish the kingdom of God. And as Mr. Cleaver pointed out, to restore paradise to this earth. Christ's second coming will be during a time of cataclysmic trouble, the greatest in the history of mankind. We're also reminded on this Feast of Trumpets that the saints of God, dead and living, will be changed to immortal spirit beings and reign with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth and on into eternity. We all have to endure to the end to be saved. We can endure to the end and remain called, chosen, and faithful if we keep our focus on the kingdom of God, if we keep our focus on doing the work of God, if we remain deeply repentant. May God help us all to rise to meet Christ at the seventh trumpet.